ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today is the auspicious appearance day of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, the incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva in Gaura Lila. So we'll hear a little bit about his glories during the class. And we're also reading today from Canto 10, Chapter 8, Verse 42. Aham mama so patiresha me sutho. Rajeshvarasya kila vitapasati. Gopyascha gopasaha godhanascha me. Yanmaya yetam kumati samegati. Aham, my existence. I am something. Mama, my. Aso, Nanda Maharaj. Patihi, husband. Eshaha, this, Krishna. Me Sutaha is my son. Braja Ishvarasya of my husband, Nanda Maharaj. Akila Vitapa, I am the possessor of unlimited opulence and wealth. Sati, because I am his wife. Gopyaha cha, and all the damsels of the cowherd men. Gopaha, all the cowherd men are my subordinates. Saha godana cha, with the cows and calves. Me, my. Yatmayaya, all such things addressed by me are after all given by the mercy of the Supreme. Itam, thus. Kumatihi, I am wrongly thinking they are my possessions. Sahamegati, he is therefore my only shelter. I am simply instrumental. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions. And all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. Purport. Following in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, everyone should follow this mentality of renunciation. Whatever wealth, opulence, or whatever else we may possess belongs not to us, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate shelter of everyone and the ultimate owner of everything. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram Suhridam sarva bhutanam kyatvamam santim ritchati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. We should not be proud of our possessions. As expressed by Mother Yashoda herein, I am not the owner of possessions, the opulent wife of Nanda Maharaj. The estate, the possessions, the cows and calves, and the subjects like the gopis and cowherd men are all given to me. One should give up thinking of my possessions, my son, and my husband. Janasya moho yam aham mameti. Nothing belongs to anyone but the Supreme Lord. Only because of illusion do we wrongly think I am existing or everything belongs to me. Thus Mother Yashoda completely surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. For the moment, she was rather disappointed, thinking, my endeavors to protect my son by charity and other auspicious activities are useless. The Supreme Lord has given me many things, but unless he takes charge of everything, there is no assurance of protection. I must therefore ultimately seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, 7.9.19, Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishinga. A father and mother cannot ultimately take care of their children. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitair janasya moho yam aham mameti. 5.5.8. One's land, home, wealth, and all of one's possessions belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we wrongly think, I am this, and these things are mine. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata De Shatarine. Now this sloka is Mother Yashoda's, what we call in English, a moment of epiphany. The word epiphany is when one comes to the topmost perfection of self-realization in one's life. And from that point, there's a shift in one's life. So Krishna is sitting in front of Mother Yashoda with his mouth open, and Mother Yashoda, she's getting these tremendous realizations, seeing just a spark of the splendor of Krishna by seeing the universe within his mouth. And she's coming to the topmost realizations, actually the realizations that in 5.5.8, that's Rishabhdev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, giving instructions to his sons. And twice Prabhupada, he quotes this last line of the sloka that he gives to his sons, Janasya moho yam aham mameti. Because in illusion, because of the strong knot of attachment between male and female, everything that is produced from that attachment, children, land, home, wealth, servants, all possessions, these are all simply the expansions of that hridaya granti caused within the heart. And this attachment is causing us to think, aham mam eti, that I am this and this is mine. So Mother Yashoda is coming to this great realization on one side about herself and on the other side about her inability to protect her own child. Because Mother Yashoda, although all the Vedas, the Upanishads, all of the Agamas, according to Sankhya Yoga, they will declare Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but according to Mother Yashoda, he's just an ordinary child. So she's thinking that all of the austerities, the pious activities that I have performed, Nanda Maharaj has performed, Parjanya Maharaj has performed, these are all useless because the parents cannot actually protect their own children. It is only by the Supreme Lord that the child is protected. And this is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, where he says, parents can't protect their own children. A doctor cannot actually cure with medicine. And I forget the third one. But the point is that we actually can only depend on the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And this is what Yashoda Mayi has realized in this sloka. So Krishna, he's watching this transformation of realization on his mother's face. And his reaction is, if my mother takes sannyas, and if she goes and renounces her family and her position and her husband, now who's going to cuddle me? Who's going to hold me? Krishna, there's a beautiful sloka in the Padyavali. Krishna, when he was separated from his mother for the very first time in his life, when he went to Mathura to kill Kamsa, and then he realized he was going to have to stay there to satisfy Nanda Maharaj's friends, Vasudeva and others, his eyes were filled with tears, and he missed four things especially of Mother Yashoda. The first was, and this is a little secret that only mothers know about between themselves and their child. When a child is very small, their mouth is small, their teeth are small, they can't eat like adults. So sometimes things are too hard, sometimes things are too spicy, they're too big. So the mother, she will take the food first, put it in her mouth, chew it up so it's just right for the child, take it out and put it in the child's mouth. So Mother Yashoda used to do that for Krishna. So Krishna was crying, and he was thinking to himself, who is going to give me the remnants of their betel nuts? Because Mother Yashoda would chew the hard betel nuts so they'd become soft and small, take it out of her mouth, and put them into Krishna's mouth so he could chew them after they ate. Then he thought, who is going to open their arms and say to me, come my child, come my child. And I run into her arms and she embraces me and puts me on her lap. Because Krishna didn't have that relationship with Devaki. Only Mother Yashoda could open her arms like that and Krishna would run into her arms. And then he thought, who is going to speak sweet words to me when I'm so naughty? Because we heard last week how all the gopis, they would come and complain to Mother Yashoda. They would chastise Krishna, but Mother Yashoda would never chastise Krishna up until now. And lastly, he was, with the tears in his eyes, he was thinking, who is going to fix my peacock feather on my head when I'm playing so hard and it falls over? So these were the four things that Krishna missed about his mother when he finally had to leave her. And we have to remember that Krishna, in this particular manifestation as the Supreme Lord, Swayam Bhagavan, he has come here to enjoy in Braja for these first 11, 12 years of his life. He wants to enjoy just like an ordinary child. In the first incarnations, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, we know that Varaha, he was born from the nostril of Brahma. But Matsya, Kurma, and Varaha, we never hear about their parents. So then finally, when Krishna assumed the form of half man and half lion as Nrisingadev, and he embraced and hugged and kept Prahlad Maharaj on his lap, he got a taste of the Vatsalya Ras. So in his next incarnation, he appeared as Vamanadev so he could enjoy with Aditi and Kashyapa. And then he appeared as the son of Kaushalya and Dasarath. He enjoyed this Vatsalya Ras very much, but it was a little stifled in these particular incarnations. Here in Braj, when he brings his original parents from Goloka Vrindavan to enter into the forms of Dara and Drona, now he can enjoy fully as an ordinary child, and he doesn't want Mother Yasoda to continue in this mentality of understanding that she, all of the opulence given to her by the being the wife of Nanda Maharaj, this is all illusory, given by the material energy. Of course, we know none of it's given by the material energy. As much as by the chanting of Hare Krishna, this Cheto Darpana Marjanam, we can forget our own attachments, names, family members, wealth, all of the possessions that we think we own that will be taken away from us. As much as we can clear that out of our mind, we can start remembering the family members, the associates, the possessions of Sri Krishna. For instance, Parjanya Maharaj, when he had no children at all, he prayed for children. And he was advised by Nanda Maharaj to go to Nandishwarpura and worship Narayan, the husband of Lakshmi. And by his favorable worshiping of Narayan, an unembodied voice very pleasantly spoke to him that, "I'm very pleased with your worship. You will have 5 sons. Amongst them, the middle son, Nanda Maharaj, will be the most superb. And he will have a son who is non-different from the Supreme Lord." This was all told to Parjanya Maharaj before he had any children. So then he had his children in Nandishwarpura, but because of disturbances there, because Keshi had been wandering around for 2 manvantaras, and when he was brought to Mathura by Kamsa, he happened to wander into Braja, and when Parjanya Maharaj saw him, he moved his entire community away from Vrindavan forest, way over to Mahavan on the other side of the river, Jamuna. So when he was living in Nandishwarapura, when he was young, his best friend was Sumukha, who lived just nearby. Parjanya Maharaj, he was white like a cloud, and Sumukha, who lived in the village of Merana, he was also a Maharaj. Everyone has their area, and they become Maharajas with their subjects and their cows and their land. So Sumukha, he lived in Merana with his wife Patala Devi, and they had 3 daughters, Yashodevi, Yashoda, and Yashashvini. And Nanda Maharaj, he was the son of Parjanya Maharaj. So the 2 middle children, because Parjanya Maharaj and Sumukha were the best of friends, they had taken a vow of friendship, they got the 2 married. Their best of the daughters, best of the sons, Nanda and Yashoda were married. So then, when Nanda Maharaj was made the king of Braja by Upananda, they were living in Mahavan, and Krishna then, by Vasudeva's arrangement, Krishna knew nothing of his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. He was with them just a matter of hours before Vasudeva personally brought them to be raised by Nanda and Yashoda. So Balaram, he never saw Vasudeva and Devaki. Krishna, he saw Vasudeva and Devaki just for a short time. And for their entire childhood, Nanda and Yashoda were their parents. And Balaram, he even told this to Vasudeva and Devaki, that you gave us up. We knew nothing of you in our childhood. Our real parents are Nanda and Yashoda. So not only Krishna, but Balaram also accepted Nanda and Yashoda as his parents. And when they had to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa, and after Kamsa there were so many other demons they had to kill, Krishna, after he killed Kamsa, he immediately went, he said, "All right, my work is done, I'm going home now." Vasudeva wouldn't. "We've suffered all these years in your separation. You're going to leave us now?" And then Krishna, he realized, "I can't leave them. But I can't. I want to go home. I want to go to my parents. I want to go to my friends, my cows. How will they live without me?" So he was in a terrible dilemma. Ananda Maharaj and all the coward men, they were staying outside of Mathura in a forest. He went to Ananda Maharaj. He said, I don't know what to do. I want to go with you. But how can I disobey Vasudeva and Devaki after they suffered so much? And now that I've killed Kamsa, all of his demoniac associates, they will come and try to attack Mathura. And if I go back to Braj now, they'll come to Braj, and that'll endanger all the cows. So Nanda Maharaj, he had the perfect solution. He said, all right, we'll all stay with you in Mathura. And Krishna said, you can't. We have unlimited number of cows. How can so many cows stay in a fort? What will they eat? No, you must go back and take care of the cows. That's our first responsibility. So Nanda Maharaj, he couldn't understand how was Mother Yasoda the whole time that since Krishna left, when Akura came and said, you have to come, you have to kill Kamsa, and Krishna informed his mother and father, and they were grief-stricken. They called the astrologers the next morning. The astrologer says, this is absolutely correct. Krishna will go, he'll kill Kamsa, he will marry Lakshmi Devi, and after all of his work is done, he will come back to you. So there was some hope in Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda's heart that after the work was done, Krishna was going to come back. That was the first spark of hope. But then, when Nanda Maharaj realized that he was not going to be able to bring back Krishna and Balaram, he was so concerned about the cows, about Mother Yasoda, about all the inhabitants. How would they live without Krishna? So Krishna, he made a plan. He wrote a letter to Yasoda. And he said, on the first day, you make me milk with rice. On the second day, you make me roti with ghee. On the third day, you make me sweet soaked in milk. And he gave a whole menu to Yasoda. He said to her, and just like we hear in Gaura Lila, he wrote to her that every day, I want you to cook for me, and I will come personally. It's not a dream. It's not a sporty and instantaneous appearance of the Lord. I am coming personally to eat everything that you cook for me. And you must eat those remnants. Because Yashoda hadn't cooked, she hadn't eaten for all the days since Krishna and Balaram had gone to Mathura. So Mother Yashoda, she was so attached to her son, because this is how Krishna wanted it. In the next verse, he will again put his curtain of Yogamaya over Mother Yasoda. When Krishna and Balaram went to the Gurukula, any of you have gone to a school away from your parents, had to live in a hostel? It's very difficult for the child. So Krishna and Balaram, when they were in Sandipani Muni's Gurukula, at night when they were alone, they would hug each other and cry. And they would say, Krishna would tell Balaram, so when I think of mother, I think of Yashoda. When I think of father, I think of Nanda Maharaj. When I think of home, I think of Braja. We should run away from here and run home. This is what children like to do when they're in the hostel, away from their parents, away from their family. But they knew they couldn't. And not only that, before they went to the Gurukula, Vasudeva wanted to make sure that Krishna and Balaram were now a part of his family. So they immediately arranged for the thread ceremony to make Krishna and Balaram into Kshatriyas. And they didn't invite the Brijbasis. Actually, the co-wives of Devaki and Rohini, they never wanted to hear about the pastimes of Braja. They never wanted to admit that there was a connection between Krishna and Nanda and Yashoda. So they made this the second birth of Krishna and Balaram without inviting Nanda and Yashoda and the cowherd people. So Krishna quickly sent a message to them that at the exact same time that I'm getting my upavita there in Mathura, you hold another ceremony, you take two boys, My friends, you have them sit in our place and you give me the Vaishya Dvija ceremony, because actually you are my relatives, you are my family, and the Yadus are simply my friends. I'm only with them for a short time until I can come home to you. Now, when Nanda Maharaj, when he was struck with so much suffering, what will the cows do without you? Krishna made a plan. He said, the cows, they recognize by sound and by smell, and a little bit by form. So you take Stoka Krishna and you dress him up in my clothes with all of my fragrance. Give him my flute, give him my stick, and you dress up Subal as Balaram. And you have them take the cows out every day. Because Krishna and Balaram, from the time they were here in Chatikara, after the next Leela that's coming up, when Krishna broke the butter pots and Mother Yasoda finally decided, because that day Rohini wasn't there. Rohini would have never allowed Krishna to get punished. But Rohini and Balaram had gone to Upananda's house that day. So Yashoda and Krishna were alone that day. And when Yashoda saw how naughty Krishna was, she tied him up. And she had housework to do. She, because Yashoda's family, they would call Krishna Yashoda Nandan. Nanda's family, they would call Krishna Nanda Nandan. There's always... So when Yashoda caught him stealing and grabbed him by the arm, she said, your whole father's family, they're all thieves. This is why you've come out like this. This is the way mothers talk to their children. So she said, I'm going to tie you up. She said, you're just like a monkey. That's why you fed all the monkeys. He said, no, Mata, you don't understand. I didn't break the pot. When you ran to take the milk off of the fire, your ankle bells broke the pot. And the monkeys saw that. And I tried to stop them. And that was why all the monkeys were there. You have the whole story wrong. So Mother Yasoda, yes, I knew you. So you're just like the monkeys. He said, then he tried to scare her. He said, well, if I'm just like the monkeys, I'm going to go live with the monkeys in the forest. So that was when she decided she had to tie him up. So this is the play between mother and son. The mother is completely controlling to the son, but the son, out of love, he'll always try to break the mother's love by doing so many naughty things. So she tied him up, and on one side, his friends were there. He was crying to Mother Yasoda, don't tie me up. Then he would look over at his friends and laugh at them, and they would encourage him. Then he would go cry to his mother again. So finally, when his mother left, he cried for a little while, and then he got excited. He said, now I can really do mischief. He pulled that mortar, he broke the trees, and Nanda Maharaj was there in the house. When they heard that big sound, he said, what is that? And Yashoda, she said, oh, I tied him up. That big sound, something must have happened. So Nanda Maharaj already knew something had happened. Yashoda told him she tied him up because he had broken the butter pot. So when he ran to save Krishna, he already knew. But he pretended, oh, what happened? Why are you like this? Who is that terrible person who tied you up? It was Mata, she did it. And he picked up Krishna, and he wouldn't go to Mother Yashoda. He only stayed with Nanda then. And the whole day he just stayed with Nanda. When it was time to milk the cows, because he was still drinking milk then from his mother, but because he wouldn't go to Mother Yasoda, so Nanda Maharaj, he took fresh cow's milk, he took some sugar, he mixed it together, and fed that to Krishna. And he was yelling, where's Rohini? Where's Balaram? Why you didn't save me? So Krishna was angry at Yasoda, he was angry at Rohini, he was angry at Balaram, because they weren't there to save him. So when Nanda Maharaj brought him back to the house, Yashoda hadn't eaten all day, she hadn't shown her face. Rohini came and said, your mother, she's crying. You please go to her. And Krishna said, no, I'm going to stay with Nanda Maharaj. So Rohini said, well, whose milk will you drink? I will drink the cow's milk with sugar. I'm going to stay with Nanda Maharaj from now on. So then Nanda Maharaj, to test the love of Krishna, he said, whoever has done this to you, I am going to beat them. And he raised his hand to beat Mother Yasoda. And then Krishna, he stopped and he said, no, you can't beat Mata. And then Rohini was able to pick him up and take him to Mother Yasoda. So these relationships between Krishna and his mother were so strong. Finally, although after this happened, when Upananda convinced Nanda Maharaj, he said, now the animals have eaten all the trees, it's not a safe place anymore. You, Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, you're always in anxiety, what's going to happen next to Krishna. We should leave this place and go back to Vrindavan. So they put them in the cart. Krishna and Balaram had never gone on a ride before like this. And they see, oh look, the trees are moving with us. Where are we going? We're going to our new home. Oh, well, when are we going to go home? No, we're taking our homes with us. Jamuna's coming with us. I see Jamuna's moving. The trees are moving. Everyone's coming with us. No, the trees aren't moving. You're moving. What are these new trees? These trees with the beard, these trees with all the buds, these trees with the quivering flowers. What are these new animals that they saw? They never saw deer, sambara before, nothing. So this is all new for them. And Mother Yasoda and Rohini, they taught the boys all the new things they were seeing, all the nice places they would play when they reached Vrindavan. And then by that time, because already Krishna had been with Nanda Maharaj, they saw that Nanda Maharaj, every day he was going out taking care of the cows. So Krishna and Balaram, although they were only 2-3 years old, they wanted to take care of the cows also. And they would follow Nanda Maharaj, and they would try to lead the cows. The cows became very attached to Krishna and Balaram then. But Mother Yasoda and Rohini, they objected. They said, where is your precedence? You're taking little boys out to herd the cows? Well, if we ask you permission, no, we don't give our permission. They have to stay home with us. And the boys would cry. So finally, Yashoda and Rohini, they relented. The cowherd men said, well, if you can't, they can't take care of the cows yet, let them take care of the calves. So then they had a nice ceremony, and Krishna and Balaram, they started to take care of the calves together. They would come back and be with their mothers. Now, Mother Yashoda at that time, because he was still a little boy, she would still do everything for Krishna. She would bathe him. First she would put oil on his body, massage his body, bathe him, dress him, get him ready to go out with the calves. But as Krishna grew older, he started to become a little embarrassed in front of his mother. He wouldn't let her massage him anymore. He wanted the servants to do it. And he would try to dress himself, although he didn't know how to tie his dhoti. So without tying his dhoti properly, he would run off with his friends. Because he was growing up, he wanted to be a big boy now. And Mother Yasoda was enjoying this, but at the same time, the strings of the heart were getting pulled because the boy was growing up. So an extra year was spent because Krishna had to expand himself as all the cowherd boys, as all the calves, and be the children of the gopis and the cows. So by the time he was 4 years old, he was already going in front of Nanda Maharaj to lead all the cows, and the cows would not leave Chatikara to go into the forest unless they saw Krishna in front of them. So the cows were already so attached. Then they decided they had a 3-day festival, and Krishna and Balaram began their Gocharan Leela. Now, at this time also, they returned to Nandishwarpura. And Mother Yasoda, there was a time, it was 1975, it was in Los Angeles. And some devotees, because at that time the Nectar of Instruction had just come out, which was, we had never received a book like that, extolling the glories of Radharani and Radhakund and Madhurya Leela like that. Because Rupa Goswami, he's very stable in the way he presents all of the rasas in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Afterwards, he wrote another full book just about Madhurya Leela. But this one small book of Upadeshamrita, it caused some devotees to deviate. They thought, well, if it's so important to take shelter of Radharani, we should just have special secret classes only about Madhurya Bhava and Radha and Krishna Leela. And they started, they formed what was called the Gopi Bhava Club. And when Pradyumna went and told Prabhupada about this, he was livid. He said, they think that Radharani is greater than Yashoda? Now, why did Prabhupada say that? Because we've all heard that Madhurya Rasa is the topmost. Well, when Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherds finally returned to Nandishwarpura, Krishna ate dirt, we know that. So when Krishna was very small, he would eat dirt, and in Rao, Radharani and her friends were playing. They're just like all little kids, they take dirt and they make little laddus and they feed it to their friends and they make a party. So they were playing like that, making little dirt laddus, and Durvasa Muni came by. And Radharani offered one of these dirt laddus to Durvasa Muni, and he ate it, and it was just like nectar. So he then gave her a blessing that whatever you cook, whatever you make with your hands, will be just like nectar. So now Krishna and Balaram were herding the cows going out every day. Mother Yasoda, now Jatila, these family members, there's so many names in the Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika that Rupa Goswami has collected of the family members. Just like we know all of our nephews and nieces and aunts and uncles and previous ancestors, all their names, we can forget all that. Now it's time to learn all of Krishna's relatives' names. So when you read about the family of Yashoda, there was a uncle, Gola, one of his, Jatila was in that family. So Mother Yashoda and Jatila, they had a family relationship. So she went to Jatila and she said, Durvasa Muni has given your daughter-in-law this benediction. And Krishna is the prince of Braja. He should get the best. So I want Radharani to come with all of her gopi friends and cook for Krishna every day. Now Jatila, she couldn't refuse her. She was a family member. So that was how, by Yashoda's ingenuity, Radharani was able to come every single day into the home of Nanda Maharaj and cook for Krishna. And this is how the sweetest pastimes occurred between Radha and Krishna. All these pastimes, the daily pastimes, all by the intelligence of Yashoda Mayi. And then Yashoda, everyone wanted Radha and Krishna to marry. Yashoda, she smeared her hands, Radharani's hands one day with the haldi as an engagement to Krishna. But Purnamasi and Gargamuni, they would not allow that marriage to take place because it would interrupt the Parakiya Rasa of Braja. So they said it's inauspicious time for Krishna, inauspicious time for Radha. The marriage won't last if you marry them now. So they made some excuse why they couldn't marry. But Mother Yashoda always considered Radharani to be like her daughter-in-law. And when Radharani would come to cook every day, she would fall at the feet of Mother Yashoda, put her head at Mother Yashoda's feet. Mother Yashoda would embrace her, put her on her lap. And although Radharani and all the gopis were so powerful, the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, because of the Vatsalya Rasa of Mother Yashoda, they would become just like little children again in Mother Yashoda's lap. She loved Radharani and the gopis so much, just like her own children. So Mother Yashoda played a very important part in bringing together Radha and Krishna. When Krishna finally left, he went to Dwarka. Now, the chronological order is not as you would read it time-wise, the way Sukadeva Goswami describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because he's speaking from the madness of prema. So he puts the Kurukshetra pilgrimage way at the end of the Leelas. But actually, that Kurukshetra pilgrimage happened before Jarasandha was killed, before Shishupa was killed, very early, while all the Kauravas and Pandavas were still living as a family. And Krishna, he decided that this is the opportunity I will get to see the Brijbasis again. So he sent a message to Nanda Maharaj. You have everyone come to Kurukshetra because there'll be so many people there, the demons won't understand my attachment to you. So Mother Yasoda, she decided that she's going to go, and she understood the hearts of all the gopis. So she said, Radharani and all the gopis, they must accompany me. So by Yasoda Mayi's, again, by her intelligence, by her love for Radharani and all the gopis, she brought all the gopis to Kurukshetra with her. And then the question was there, if everyone comes to Kurukshetra, who will look after the cows? So Krishna sent a message. All the husbands of the gopis have to stay back and take care of the cows. And only the gopis should accompany Yashoda Mayi. So that way, for 3 months, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and all the gopis had the secret association of Krishna in Kurukshetra. And that is a special significance of Kurukshetra Leela. This is all led by Yashoda Mayi's and Nanda Maharaj's persistence to bring everyone to Kurukshetra to see Krishna. Every day, Nanda Maharaj would say, I'm going back, but Vasudeva and Devaki wouldn't allow them to. And when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda finally saw Krishna Balaram, after such a long time, they were just flooded in tears. And Krishna and Balaram, they fell at their feet and they knelt up. So their heads were just at the chest of Yashoda Mayi, and she embraced her two sons. And the crying, when Yashoda saw that Krishna and Balaram were crying, then she stopped crying. She said, well, they're crying because I'm crying. If I stop, they'll stop. So then they stopped crying and they got to spend those 3 months together in Kurukshetra. So these pastimes of Krishna and Yashoda, Krishna is just churning the love of his mother. When Krishna came back from the Gurukula, he wasn't there for so long, a little more than 2 months, they ran to Rohini. Because Vasudev, he said Rohini had to come to Mathura. So Rohini was living there in Mathura. And they said, Rohini, we have to go see Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. We just can't live without them anymore. We want to secretly go to Braja. And Rohini said, no, there's no secrets here. Vasudev and Devaki, they're watching every step that you make. You can send a messenger. So that's when they decided to send Uddhava. And when Uddhava came, although he looked just like Krishna, everyone could understand he wasn't actually Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj, he was asking, how's this person, how's that person? Finally, does Krishna remember his mother? Is he ever going to return? And Uddhava, when he saw the condition of Mother Yasoda, she was perspiring, she was crying, her milk was flowing. He was thinking, she's just like a river. I have to do something to restrict their love for Krishna. So he started giving Nanda and Yashoda gyan, that Krishna's actually the Supreme Lord. He's everywhere. He doesn't take anyone as special. They completely rejected everything he said. So their love was so strong, it could never be broken at any moment. Even in this verse, when Mother Yasoda realized this child is simply being protected by the Supreme Lord, the next moment, Krishna covers her again with Yoga Maya, so she'll forget all of her realization and take him in her arms again. Hare Krishna.